Monday night, January 14th. This is Trailblazers Courtside presented by Pacific Power. Adam Bjarnson, Michael Holton with you. When the team obviously goes out on the road, as they are off to Denver right now, they need some pinch hitters. That's where you and I come in.
We have come out of the bullpen.
We are ready, willing, and able to answer any questions and give you guys all kinds of Blazers talk tonight. And how you doing, by the way? It's cold outside. You noticed?
But we're inside.
Yeah, but it's cold in here.
Yeah, I know.
Layers on.
I went and bought three hats today.
Did you?
I bought one that's got the furry things on your ears that ties underneath here.
Good stuff. Well, of course, there's so many outlets for you to take part in tonight's show. There's right here on the TV side on Comcast Sportsnet. There is on the Trailblazers Radio Network. And, of course, streaming live on trailblazers.com. How about the courtside tip-off? Let's go ahead and talk about that for a second. It is presented by Standard TV and Appliance. Coming up on the show tonight, efforting Blazers assistant coach, Jay Triano. He's in a higher elevation right now, as we mentioned, Denver, Colorado, where the team is. Hopefully be joining us at 6:15. We're going to talk about the season so far as we approach the midway point of the season. Then coming up at 6:30, we're going to have Blazers team president Chris McGowan on. He's going to talk about the news that was released today, this regarding the search for a corporate partner to help name this fabulous building of ours. Then we're going to have Seattle Times sports writer Bob Condotta on at 6:40. He's all over this possible move of the Sacramento Kings moving to Seattle. This anything but a done deal right now, and Bob's going to tell us why coming up. It's kind of a little bit of a mess going on up there in Seattle right now with the potential that this, you know, team could relocate up there.
I think the mess is in Sacramento.
Well, that's been an ongoing mess, and we're going to ask Bob about that. By the way, if you are on Twitter and you've got a question that you would like any of these three guests of ours, or Michael, or myself, feel free, use the hashtag TBCourtside, or, you know, yeah, it's just that. I was thinking for a second we were on fifth quarter for a moment.
No, keep it simple.
Yeah, that's right. TV Courtside, hashtag TV Courtside. And we will, if it hits the spot, we're going to get that on the air for you. All right, just underway right now. We're going to be back with more Trailblazers Courtside presented by Pacific Power coming up right after this quick timeout.
To Matthews. Matthews 10 to shoot. Matthews against Allen. A three for the lead. Yes! Yes, he did!
Aldridge sees a clearing and dunks it down the middle. Like I...
And welcome back, Trailblazers Courtside. Adam Bjarnson and Michael Holton with you on this Monday, January 14th. And it is so brisk. We talked about it just moments ago about how this weather outside, you know, all these TV stations locally go into storm team coverage and all this. But it's going to get a little hairy out there tonight. They're talking about ice on the roads and wasn't anything on my drive-in. How about you?
No, my drive-in was fine because from my day job, I didn't go home.
That's so true.
Already on this side of town. But yeah. I'd rather have snow than ice.
You would.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Most people would. First, there you go. You got your wish right now because it is snowing.
That's nice.
That is nice.
The magic of television for the radio audience. There are snowflakes dropping down on the screen. It's a beautiful thing.
We should have one just drop right on your forehead.
Yeah. And then I would try to turn it into a snowball. Throw it at you.
All right, a lot coming up on the show tonight. It is jam-packed. Blazers assistant coach Jay Triano coming up at a quarter after the hour. Blazers president Chris McGowan at the bottom of the hour. And then Bob Condotta from the Seattle Times going to be joining us, and he's going to be talking about the Sacramento Kings situation as it relates to the city of Seattle. Yeah, and thankfully for coffee, because it does get a little cold even in this studio down here. But, Michael, let's talk about the Trailblazers. 5-3 so far this January. But off to a great start this season, three games above 500. The last couple of games, you know, certainly for a while, the Blazers looked down and out of the game, only to make it interesting in late game situations.
Well, there's so many things happening within this season that are interesting. And right now what's happening is the Trailblazers are struggling to have good field goal percentage offense. Mm-hmm. We've seen the team struggle with field goal percentage defense, and we've seen different challenges throughout the season. But right now, they're not shooting a high percentage, but still in games and winning games.
only shooting in the 30s each of the last three games, yet you could have won all three of these games. That says something about your team's defense. What they did last night against OKC, holding them to 18 points under their season average, only 87 points last night for the Thunder. That was impressive. I mean, you like what you're getting defensively from this team at times.
You definitely do, but there's a saying that where the focus goes, the energy flows. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden the team focused on defense. You know, probably 10, 12 games ago, it was a major issue. Mm-hmm. And now the defense has gotten dramatically better. And now the offense, the wheels are coming off of it a little bit. So it's interesting, but that's what makes competitive sports beautiful and professional basketball in particular.
We don't like looking back too often, but we are going to be looking ahead here in just a moment. But I want to continue on with this OKC thing. That was the second fewest points that the Thunder have scored this season, and the first since, I think, November 1st, which was their season opener. But a nice job there. And LaMarcus Aldridge, 33 points, season best, 15 field goals, had 11 boards. By the way, he joins – is the third time he's got 30 and 10. He joins only two other people in the – two other players and joins very high company. The only two other players to do that three times this season, a guy named LeBron and a guy named Kobe.
Oh, I mean, it's big time, 33 and 11. And I like how LaMarcus is scoring because everybody knows he has a jumper and he has range, whether it's a back-to-the-basket turnaround jumper or whether it's a face-up jumper. But he's playing in the post. He's playing some power post-up basketball. He's shooting runners in the lane. He's getting second-chance points off the glass, just expanding his offensive game.
Trailblazers in Denver to take on the Nuggets tomorrow. We know what took place the last time those two teams met. One of the strangest games you will ever see. And by the time it was done, this is the game where the Trailblazers won by 8, but the Nuggets missed all 22 of their three-point shots. That the Blazers had set that record just 10 days prior against Toronto. Denver scored 74 points inside the paint. They didn't get their first field goal from anywhere on the floor outside the painted area until 38 seconds remained in the game, Michael. I mean, it was just an unreal, surreal game.
I don't think I've ever seen a team as committed to attacking the basket with the dribble as the Denver Nuggets was when they played the Portland Trailblazers, because they spaced behind the three-point line, but everybody that caught it put their head down and just drove it, and they kicked it, and that person put their head down and drove it when they weren't guarded. It was really a different deal.
If you're Coach Stotts, do you bring the game tape out? Do you show these guys what took place on December 20th against Denver?
I think you have to, because it's so unusual mm-hmm. that a team would be so committed to driving the basketball that you have to show that to your team. You can't just say it to your team. You got to say, look, guys, this is how committed they are.
And you said this off the air before we started. You said, well, no wonder George Karl went inside the paint. He doesn't have really great shooters outside right now.
No, and George Karl, he's one of the best coaches. Mm-hmm. I love George Karl because I had a chance to interview him before the game, and I asked him a question, and I didn't intend for it to go the way it went. I just said, George, looking at your team stats, it looks like the guards have the green light. He said, because there are better players.
Apparently not for that 2.5-hour stretch here in the Rose Garden. Let's talk about Damian Lillard, because I know, as you, a former point guard, and watching Damian Lillard and what he has been able to do so far this season, in his rookie year no less, that performance down at Golden State, 37 points, you know, it's the most by a Trailblazer rookie since Calvin Natt in 1980, and I think it's been done by Jeff Petrie. Scored 37 or more, I do believe, 10 times his rookie year.
I wish I would have saw some of those.
Michael Thompson and Calvin Natt, the others to do it for the Trailblazers. But just talk about Damian's just growth through 37 games and what he has been able to already attain in his rookie season.
Well, I mean, his comfort and confidence for a rookie, I don't want to say it's unparalleled, but there's only a few rookies in my basketball lifetime that I've seen have the type of impact that he's having. Consistently and comfortable with the spotlight. I mean, I start thinking of people like Magic Johnson. Mm-hmm. You know, you think about people like LeBron, and even LeBron I don't think was as consistent when he came into the league. You know, Larry Bird, Isaiah Thomas in the backcourt. You know, guys that come in the league with the ball in their hand, that make plays and can shoot the ball from distance. Because when you have the type of handle where you can get yourself a shot, and you have rhythm and range. Now in today's pick-and-roll basketball, Damian Lillard is the best pick-and-roll guard, I think, in the league right now, mm-hmm. knocking down jumpers coming off the pick.
I think I saw that stat earlier today. But, yeah, set best in points with 37, obviously field goals with 15, three-pointers with 7, all of those against Golden State just a few days ago. So Damian obviously has the green light to shoot the basketball. He is kind of like, in many ways, you could say he's option number one as far as late game situations right now for this team.
Well, Terry Stotts is certainly comfortable. His teammates are comfortable mm-hmm. with him having the ball, and that's important because when you see that, and I think OKC Thunder head coach Scott Brooks said it when he was asked before the game about Damian Lillard. He said to see a team as comfortable with him having the ball speaks to his work ethic, speaks to his unselfishness. It's the best compliment that a young player can receive when everybody else is comfortable with you having the ball.
I want to put you on the spot for a second. Can I do that?
I've been there before.
If you had only one Trailblazer to put on the All-Star team, which Trailblazer would it be?
LaMarcus.
I heard some oohs and ahs.
LaMarcus.
Yeah?
I think it would be L.A. His body of work, he's been there before, and I don't think the way Damian is playing is overshadowing what L.A. is doing.
Okay. All right, Trailblazers courtside. Working on getting assistant coach, Trailblazer assistant coach Jay Triano next from Denver. Their flight landed, and we think it's cold here. It's in the high teens over in Denver. So Trailblazers just landing, and hopefully we'll be able to catch up with the Trailblazers assistant coach right here on Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power, streamed online, trailblazers.com, and, of course, along the Trailblazer Radio Network. Back with more after this. Always got to have the Reuben Boom-Shay shot. It's iconic around these parts.
He's alive on courtside.
He is a legend. Hey, Pet Appreciation Night presented by Banfield Pet Hospital and benefiting Oregon Humane Society is coming up January 26th against the Clippers. Submit photos of your pet in Trailblazers gear, and they can make it on the big screen for ticket info. And to submit photos, just head over to trailblazers.com. Okay, Michael, we had just talked about who you would take as far as an all-star from this Trailblazer team. You said LaMarcus Aldridge. I want to remind everyone out there right now that NBA All-Star balloting presented by Sprint ends at 8:59 tonight. So if you have not cast your ballot online, you should do that because according to my math, you've got about 2.5 hours to do this, just over that. Starters are going to be announced this Thursday on, I do believe it's going to be on TNT on their broadcast.
Really? Already?
Already. It says January 17th. Yeah.
Wow.
How about that? And L.A. was nominated for Western Conference Player of the Week for the games played January 7th through yesterday. So there you have it. Jay Triano was going to join us, I've been told. And they just landed in Denver, so he is not able to kind of join us now. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, we might have a picture of these. This is the guys just getting now off the plane. And they're sending these. If you guys follow MB, Rice, Jeff Curtin, all those guys on Twitter, you will see that this is what the conditions are like in Denver right now. That is snow, Michael.
That is real snow. Not the kind that's falling here. But let me ask you a question. So the person that took the picture had to walk across the snow, turn around, and take the picture going back, right?
There you go.
So they took one for the team.
They did, exactly. Exactly. So we will not have Blazers assistant Jay Triano on tonight, but we will definitely effort him on future shows, and he's got a lot to offer and a lot to say about how this team is playing, and certainly he's one of the guys responsible for the Trailblazers getting off to such a great start. Adam Bjarnson, Michael Holton with you, and Michael, let's talk a little bit more right now. After tomorrow, the Trailblazers are going to play 6 of their next 7 games to close out the month of January here on their home floor. And this is a schedule, if I'm not mistaken, this is going to be a good chance to kind of pick up some steam. They've got the Cavs, the Wizards, the Bucks, the Pacers, Mavs, and Clippers. So really a big chance to pick up some steam as you head towards that All-Star break.
Yeah, to pick up some steam. Plus, those are really exciting teams to watch play.
Sure. How important is that stretch of games, though, for the Trailblazers as you –
I always like to think that the 7 to 10 games on both sides of the All-Star break are golden opportunities to make up some ground. Because what happens is some teams check out early before the All-Star break, mm-hmm. and some teams don't check back in after the All-Star break. So you really, if you're a team that's focused in the hunt, you can make up some ground in that 20-game stretch.
With this Trailblazer team, effort has certainly not been lacking. Each of their last 6 games, Michael, I was looking at the final results and the final scores, and of the six games, none of them have been decided by more than 6 points. That talks about the level of competitiveness and how this team just has no quit in them, regardless if they're down by 20 like they were down at Golden State. This is something that the Trailblazers can take a lot of pride in because, look, you're going up against some really, really solid teams. And for Portland to be in a lot of these games, I think speaks volumes, not only about the players on the floor, but certainly about this coaching staff and putting together a right game plan.
Yeah, but not just in games or in close games, winning close games.
Right.
I think the team is still undefeated in overtimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have that stat of games decided by 6 or less points. Give me that stat again.
They have the last 6 games have been decided by 6 points or less.
Okay. So, in close game. And what I've been enjoying watching is the defensive intensity and cohesiveness at the end of games.
Mm-hmm.
Because Wesley Matthews is just slapping the floor, sitting down in front of very good players, yeah. You know, the LeBron James of the league, and guarding them. And Nicola Batum is doing the same thing. And what that does is that becomes contagious. And when everybody starts locking in, you know, I know in pro football you talk about having a 2-minute drill or a 2-minute game. Basketball is not much different. I mean, mm-hmm. you get to that second half of the fourth quarter, you got to be able to lock in. And it takes a high level of trust defensively to crawl into the world's best basketball players and trust that your teammates behind you are going to have your back.
You talk about Wesley Matthews and the lift he's provided this team. I mean, you can look at just what he has done defensively over the course since he's actually returned from his hip injury, and he's just been absolutely sensational. I mean, he's one of the main reasons and one of the catalysts on that defensive end of the floor.
Oh, no. See, I think people forgot that Wesley Matthews' first impact on the NBA was in guarding Kobe Bryant in the playoffs.
That's right.
He was a stopper before he was a three-point shooter.
He was the Kobe stopper. After some guy named
Don't say that. That's a bad term. Because the unofficially first named Kobe stopper wasn't a Kobe stopper.
No, he wasn't. He was all talk. All subs, no substance, all talk, right?
All form, no substance.
Let's continue. The Blazers, how do they improve their shooting percentage? Granted, it's skewed a little bit, right? Each of their last 3 games they've shot in the 30s, but they've been going up against really good defensive teams themselves. Miami, Golden State has definitely improved. And what we saw the other night, Oklahoma City is one of the best defensive teams in the league.
Yeah, I think a part of it is the Trailblazers are still an outside-in team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, through movement, and it takes a lot of movement to free yourself when you're working from the outside in. Meaning, the Trailblazers don't break you down with back-to-the-basket basketball or draw double teams early in games. Now, LaMarcus can draw double teams, but he's really the only Trailblazer that in a back-to-the-basket situation or in a post-up situation that can command a double team. So that means all of our perimeter players, as talented as they are not getting good separation from their defensive players, so they got to manufacture offense.
By outside in, I'm guessing that you're not talking about – you're not talking about 41 three-point attempts.
Well, that would contribute to what I'm saying.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think it's any secret that the Trailblazers are a team that feature and rely on three-point shooting.
How much longer can the Trailblazers get away with this second unit not scoring in bunches? Is this going to be something that you obviously want to have a second unit that can actually score the basketball?
Well, there's two things that unit needs to do, either score or not get scored on, because mm-hmm. they have to relieve the starters for X amount of minutes. It's about minutes on the floor.
All right. Trailblazers Courtside presented by Pacific Power returns after a quick timeout. We will be having Trailblazers team president Chris McGowan will be joining us next after this next break, I do believe. And we will check in with him. I believe he's at the NBA league meetings in Miami. We'll check in and talk to him about the potential naming rights of the Rose Garden. It's brisk outside, everyone. If you're driving, make sure you drive safely. Back with more in just a minute. Adam Bjarnson, Michael Holton with you on Trailblazers Courtside. Glad to have you with us on this cold, 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 cold night here in the Northwest. I need to bring this up real quick because this is definitely big news around here. Team founder Harry Glickman has been nominated for the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame, and he's also a nominee for the John Bunn Award. I watched a story last night. KPTV did a great job. Dan Sheldon over there did a great job with Mr. Glickman. And just he's such a special person to have this team, to bring this team to Portland, to keep it here as long as he have. And, hey, there he is right there.
Legendary.
Nominated for the Hall of Fame.
That's big time.
That is.
Very deserving.
No question about it. He said during that piece on KPTV that he wants to live to see another championship here in Portland. I said, yes, let's go do it. Let's put this team together. And I'm sorry? One more time? Oh, is that right? Sweet. Let's go ahead and do this right now. Team president, Chris McGowan, joining us. And, Chris, if I'm not mistaken, thanks for the time. Are you in the city of Miami tonight?
I'm in the city of Miami, and I'm in the part of Miami called South Beach. So if it's a little loud in the background, I apologize.
Nothing wrong with that. No, it sounds great, and you're crystal clear. Now, we heard that the Trailblazers have been, you know, searching for naming rights, for a naming rights partner now for several years. What makes today's announcement different maybe from years past?
Well, I wasn't here in years past. All I can talk about is kind of going forward. What makes this different? Two things. I mean, it's going to be a top priority for the organization. I've assigned this as, you know, something that we need to figure out, you know, in a pretty timely fashion. So we're going to put a lot of our organizational resources into finding a naming rights partner. And then I guess, you know, you could say it's different because we've actually hired a firm to help lead the way with us. And I don't think that's been done in the past. So Chris, for those two reasons, I think it's a little bit different.
Chris, can you tell us a little bit about Premier Partnerships, the firm that's been retained to help with this effort?
Yeah, they're a firm that specializes in naming rights and sponsorships, and that's all they do. There's a bunch of companies out there that do media deals, sponsorship deals, naming rights deals, and that type of stuff. And they focus on a wide variety of initiatives. And I like them because they just focus on naming rights and sponsorship. That's their bread and butter. And you know, because of that, I thought they'd be a good partner for the Trailblazers. Plus, I've known them for a while, and I think their personality styles are going to work great with the folks that they're going to be working with, the Trailblazers, because we're going to still be heavily involved in this process, even though we've hired a firm to help us. You know, on a daily basis, we're going to be communicating with them. So from a fit perspective, I thought they were good as well.
Chris, a lot of people in the Portland area, of course, associate themselves with the Rose Garden. What are the chances that the Rose Garden name kind of remains intact?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a possibility, but ultimately it's up to the partner that you go into a partnership with. But, you know, certainly, I mean, we're aware of that, you know, and we know that fans are connected with that name in a big way, and it's something that we're going to take into consideration as we kind of move into this. And if it can be put in there, we'll do it. If not, then we'll figure out a way to, you know, continue with the Rose Garden legacy in some form or fashion.
Chris, let's talk timeline. How soon do you envision this deal getting done?
That's a tough question. You know, I like to get things done quickly, but I'm not going to do a bad deal. You know, the fact of the matter is we don't have a naming rights partner currently. So anything that we do going forward is going to be new revenue. So it's certainly something I'm not going to rush into. More importantly, I want to find the right deal. Ideally, we'd have it done before the 2013-14 season. But if it's not, then we'll take our time. I guess the biggest message is that, you know, we're going to do the right deal, not a bad deal. And if it takes a little bit longer to do that, then I'm okay with it. But if, from an ideal perspective, I'd like to have it done before the 13-14 season.
Chris McGowan, Blazers team president, joining us right now from Miami. Michael Holton said he would like to put his name on the arena. Is that possible?
I'll be back from Miami tomorrow night, so just have him come into my office at 8:30 in the morning, and we'll talk some detail.
Chris, I can't believe he threw me under the bus like that.
Hey, Chris,
I said I wanted the right deal, and when I said that, I meant it.
You are in Miami for a reason. You're not there vacationing. You were there for the NBA league meetings. How has the first day been, and have you been able to meet any other NBA presidents?
Oh, yeah. We had a president-specific meeting today, so I got to work the room a little bit and meet a lot of guys that I, you know, haven't met up to this point in my career. I know quite a few people in the NBA just because, you know, I've been in the sports industry for a long time, but it's been a really productive day, and I got to sit down with the commissioner a little bit and sit down with Adam Silver a little bit as well. So it's been good. You had to fly a long enough way to get here, so hopefully it was productive, but, it was a good day for sure. This is my first obvious NBA meeting.
Hey, enlighten us for a moment and tell us what's the weather like in Miami right now?
It's a beautiful 70 degrees, and what they're telling me is that the humidity is down, and everyone that lives here is really excited about that, but it still feels pretty humid to me, so I hate to be here when it was really humid.
Well, there's snow and ice in the forecast for tonight back here in Portland. So we're warning everyone, if they're out on the roads, to make sure that they drive very safely tonight.
Trust me, my wife texted me about 15 pictures of snow because she certainly hasn't seen a lot of snow in L.A., but she's definitely making me aware of the snow because she knows that I'm enjoying a little bit of nice weather here in Miami.
Oh, good times. Trailblazer President Chris McGowan joining us. Chris, thank you so much for the time. Enjoy your time down there in South Beach. And as we were talking about the naming rights for this, new arena, or not the arena, but, a new name possibly for this arena and corporate naming rights. As in life, change is inevitable. So Blazer fans certainly want to keep that in mind, right?
I would say so. I mean, it's just this is one of those things that if we can go do it, then we reinvest it right back in the team and everyone benefits. So. That's the way we got to look at it.
Good stuff. All right, Chris McGowan, exciting time for sure. Thank you again for the time.
All right, see you guys Wednesday night.
Sounds good. We'll be all here right, as bye-bye. The Trailblazers take on the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're going to, after tomorrow, they're going to have 5 games in a row here at home. Unbeatable teams, Michael.
I'm looking forward to it.
I am too. A couple of KGW games, a lot of Comcast Sportsnet games, all of them. We're going to have it all for you, breaking it all down. All right. Still much more. Trailblazer Courtside to get to, presented by Pacific Power, of course, right here on Comcast Sportsnet, the Trailblazers Radio Network, and streamed live on trailblazers.com. When we get back, we are going to have a visit with Seattle Times sports writer Bob Condotta. We're going to talk about this possible move of the Sacramento Kings to Seattle. Back with more right after this. Welcome back this Monday night, everyone. Trailblazers Courtside, Adam Bjarnson alongside Michael Holton. And this is going to be a short segment, I have been informed. So we're going to talk real quick. I'm going to get people up to date on what's going on in the NBA tonight. Can we do that, Michael?
Yes, this would be a good time to do that.
How about this? A 29-point victory for the Washington Wizards. They beat Orlando tonight, 120-91. We'll be seeing the Wizards here in a couple weeks. Right now in progress. Games in progress. We continue to go through these. Chicago up by 30 on Atlanta, 52-22. Boston up by 4 on the Bobcats right now as they wind down the third quarter there. The Clippers in control in Memphis, 53-34. We'll be seeing the Clippers here in about a week. Minnesota trailing in Dallas, 49-41. And Oklahoma City, how about this? Down in Phoenix. They left Portland, went down to Phoenix, and they're losing in the first quarter. Just 17 points for the OKC Thunder right now in the first as the Suns lead that one, 24-17. Coming up at 7 o'clock, top of the hour, Cleveland at Sacramento. We'll be talking about these Sacramento Kings and the possible relocation. Let me get your thoughts on that. The I-5 rivalry, we've been missing it. Since 2008 is when the Sonics moved to OKC, when Clay Bennett swept them up and took them away, and that has left a lot of people still upset. And hearing news that the Sonics might be coming back can only, it possibly even just lights that fire for all the Sonic fans up in Seattle to have NBA basketball back.
Yeah, well, I definitely think Seattle can support a team. And the rivalry was good, Portland, Seattle, and the Northwest. I think it balances geographically the league to have another team in the Northwest. I don't know how comfortable I am with another team being named the Sonics because Oklahoma City's the Sonics, but now they're Oklahoma City. But I guess if there's a team in Seattle, they're going to be the Sonics. So I can't get my mind around that.
They should be the Sonics.
We'll ask
Bob Condotta. He's going to be our guest coming up. I think so. That's just my
opinion. So the Bobcats should be the Hornets?
Yes.
I'm just saying.
Yes. Everyone is in agreement in here. Bob Condotta, Seattle Times sports writer, going to be joining us about this possible move. We'll have him joining us right after this quick timeout along the Trailblazers Radio Network, Comcast Sportsnet, and on trailblazers.com. just dominating.
Oh, you're not dominating.
Oh, come on. I haven't missed.
Oh, I missed one. Oh, bank. I went glass. You can't go glass.
Beanie Babies.
You can't throw the Beanie Baby
there
in there.
Pippen.
That's a good place for Pippen.
You can get a couple more of these. Having a good time. Hey, Rip City, don't let the wet weather get you down. Stand up and cheer, or the ice for that matter. Stand up and cheer with our Winter Survival Kit. It is presented by Buffalo Wild Wings. Includes hoops, dinner, and a movie. You get a ticket to 3 games. It includes the Celtics, the Grizzlies, and the Mavericks, plus a $25 gift card and admission to go see a movie pass. It's valued at $100, but you can get it starting at $58. Go to trailblazers.com or call 503-797-9600 today. All right, pleased to be joined by an outstanding sports writer for the Seattle Times. And when he's not knee-deep in following the Washington Huskies football team, he's trying to figure out when and really if we're going to have a chance of renewing this I-5 rivalry. He is Bob Condotta. Bob, good evening. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. Thanks for the time. What's the very latest on the possibility of the Kings relocating to Seattle? Because I know this has kind of been in flux. A lot of fans right out of the gate were super excited. Now it seems to kind of be backing off just a little, right?
Well, I guess it depends on who you believe, which is kind of the tough thing about all this. You know, nobody who really knows is saying anything on the record. I mean, the NBA is not, the Seattle group's not, the Maloofs are not. The only people who are really saying anything are people in Sacramento, Kevin Johnson, and some of the people there who want to try to keep it, buy the team and keep it. So that's probably why it might feel like the story shifted. But, you know, if you believe the David Aldridge of NBA.com, you know, wrote a really exhaustive kind of detailed story on it all today, and he painted a picture of just saying basically it's almost done, that it's going to happen to Seattle. And, you know, Adrian Wojnarowski of Yahoo.com, who also has kind of written some of the meteor stuff on this, also had something today kind of saying the same thing, making it hint toward that. So it's a little bit hard to know because there's so much secrecy behind the scenes. And then the fact that the Maloofs are so unpredictable, I mean, that's the other big X factor here, is the Maloofs have a history of killing deals at the last minute, both, a couple of different things with trying to keep the team in Sacramento in the past. So their unpredictability is the other thing that's made this really hard to know exactly where it's headed and when there may be a resolution to it.
Bob, talking about the Maloofs and killing deals, and the part of this has been reported that they want to retain some type of minority ownership, and I just find that kind of almost hard to believe that you can sell a team for $500+ million and retain a seat at the table. Is that really a factual part of this deal, or is that just something that's out there as a storyline?
I think it's completely factual that they wanted that, but it's not going to happen. So, I mean, maybe that's two different answers there. But, yeah, I think they definitely wanted to try to have that. I mean, you know, the Maloof family, there's 5 brothers and sisters, 4 brothers and a sister. There's 2 of the brothers that really care a lot about being involved in the NBA. Gavin and Joe, the 2 guys you always kind of see courtside again. Well, you used to. You don't see them there anymore, but you used
Why
to
is
see
that?
Them there courtside. Yeah, they don't want to get things thrown at them and everything anymore. But it sounded like, you know, they really, I think they realized that financially they need to get rid of the team, but I think they didn't want to give up the idea of being NBA owners. But you're right. I mean, especially the Seattle group, there's no way they're going to sell or buy the team from them and then want them to still have any kind of stake or say in the team. So, you know, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, Bob, is it your guess that when and if a team comes back to Seattle, and I'm going to say when, it will be named the Sonics? I mean, it just makes perfect sense.
You know, Chris Hansen said that every single time he's been asked. So, okay. That question, I guess, is sort of out there. And obviously with the Kings, one thing that maybe it's easy to overlook, but I mean, the Kings have one of the longest histories in the league. You know, they bounced around an awful lot, but they're almost one of the original franchises, and they, you know, they haven't won a ton of titles, but and obviously nothing in recent history, but you know, they do have a pretty rich history there. So it is kind of dicey, I guess, to figure out exactly what happens to their history and everything, but Chris Hansen's made it clear that, you know, he intends it to be the Sonics and the green and gold and all of that.
You know, talking about this deal and everybody's focused on this deal, but somewhere I read or heard that there are other teams that could possibly come into this conversation should this deal fall apart. The Milwaukee Bucks are a team that's talked about a lot. A lot of people like to think that New Orleans is not real secure where they are. Do you think that there are other deals that are kind of being discussed behind the scenes as well, or is this just, if this doesn't happen, then it's back to the drawing board for a number of years?
It's sort of back to the drawing board. I've written a few stories about this, and there's nobody else that is both A, available, and then B, easily movable. And so, you know, if you're Chris Hansen, you're building an arena and you want a team immediately, those are the two things you needed: a team that you could buy theoretically, and then a team that can also get out of its existing city. That's why the focus was always on Sacramento. When we kind of broke some of the original stories on this last February, when it first kind of came out that they were putting all this together, Sacramento was already being mentioned in their correspondence, and that was why, because they just, nothing against Sacramento, but it was just the team that they thought they could get. You're right, Milwaukee has sort of been mentioned because their lease situation is a year-to-year deal. They don't have a long-term lease. It would be hard to get out of, but they have they also desperately need an arena, but they have apparently started to take some big steps toward that. But you're right, Milwaukee is the other team that people pointed to as potentially available and then would be easy to move. You know, New Orleans got sold to Tom Benson, as the owner of the Saints there, and I think the NBA is really committed to the New Orleans team, to the New Orleans team staying there. So I don't really see that one happening.
Joined by Bob Condotta of the Seattle Times, who's all over the story about the Kings possibly going to Seattle. Chris Hansen's group has picked out a parcel of land, and we understand that's in the Soto District. Is that right?
Yeah, it's if you're familiar with Seattle at all, I mean, there's CenturyLink Field, and then there's Safeco Field where the Mariners play, and then it's just right south of that. So there'd be a little bit of a break there between the two, but not much. But then, yeah, you'd put a basketball arena right next to it. So you just kind of have these three stadium/arenas right in a row there.
Is there any potential hangups with that at all between Hansen's group and the city of Seattle?
Well, the Mariners have fought it like crazy. The Mariners are not thrilled at all about the prospect of a basketball arena that would be filled, 45, 50 times a year with potentially some conflicting dates and traffic issues. That the Port of Seattle has put up a huge fight about it. There's an environmental impact study that needs to be done first. So there are some things like that.
Okay.
Politically, it's not a huge issue other than the entities that I just mentioned. I mean, both the city council and the King County Council have essentially signed off on it as long as the environmental impact study comes out okay. And then there is a potentially a lawsuit by some of the people associated with the port over it as well. But so there is that. I mean, again, David Aldridge's story today kind of mentioned that Stern, before he puts his 100% support behind the Seattle effort, wants to make sure that the arena is going to be done. I think the arena will get done. I think it seems like the fact that the politicians are pretty much on board with it, which was not the case, 4 or 5 years ago, but they are now. There's a lot of different people in place, and now that they are on board, I think those things will get smoothed out.
Bob, I haven't traveled around the NBA in some years, so I haven't seen today's NBA in terms of arenas and locations and the environments that surround them. So with all respect to the studies that have to be done, I do want to say that Seattle, with those stadiums side by side, that's a beautiful thing. And I'd like to see a basketball arena right there next to those things. I just think that would be unique.
Well, it would be unique. And, obviously with the Seahawks, they only play 10 games a year, and then the Sounders obviously play there and get really big crowds, but mostly play at a different time of year as well. Wouldn't conflict too much with the NBA. The NBA and the Mariners wouldn't conflict a ton, but they might if you had an NBA team that makes a big run into late April and May and things like that. But it is a congested area with a lot of things going on there, and there have been some people that have had some, I think legitimate concerns about traffic and things like that. But, I think the general feeling is that it'll all get worked out. They are not part of Hansen's agreement right now is that they don't really start the full construction aspect of it until they secure a team. So, they've kind of put the onus a little bit on the NBA by saying, we've taken these steps to secure the financing. Someone will put the money up by it. The councils have all given their tentative approval to it. But it's all fairly contingent on the actual starting of the arena, getting at least one tenant there, getting an NBA team.
And you would think that that's exactly what David Stern would like to do before he goes, is to have that final splash, if you will, of relocating a team to Seattle. Ultimately, real quick, what's your gut feeling on this, Bob? What do you think?
Yeah, well, since I am reporting on the story, I'm slightly hesitant to predict much, but
sure.
I mean, just reading the tea leaves, certainly there seems to be a lot of momentum in Seattle's favor right now. But again, the Maloofs are the real wild card here, and if they get cold feet for some reason or other, or if David Stern you're right. He has basically said that he would like to rectify Seattle, or certainly it sounds like he said it much stronger behind the scenes, because there's been some several reports stating that he has made that something he really wants to get done before he retires. But I think he's also real, fond of Sacramento and Kevin Johnson and the efforts they've made there. So it's sort of hard to read it a little bit. But certainly there seems to be an awful lot of smoke behind all these reports about what's been going on and the negotiations with Seattle that lead you to think that down the, at some point in the near future, Seattle will probably have a team.
Bob Condotta talking about the possible relocation of the Sacramento Kings to Seattle. Thanks for checking in with us tonight, Bob. We do appreciate it.
All right. Thanks a lot, you guys.
Thank you. Bye. All right, time for us to take a quick timeout. When we get back, more Trailblazers Courtside. We are going to answer some of your questions via Twitter. Hashtag TV Courtside. Back with more right after this. Fans repairing two of Portland's favorite traditions, basketball and craft beer. Join us for Hoops and Hops, a series of pre-game events where you can enjoy 10 beer tasters in a private event before the game, plus an upper-level ticket for just $31. Are you kidding me? That's a good deal. Our next Hoops and Hops night coming up Monday, January 21st against the Wizards, so head on over to trailblazers.com to get your tickets today. $31, Michael.
$31.
If you're into beer, and I am.
Hoops and Hops.
Hoops and Hops. Great name, and it's a great event. We have a few of them a year. Okay, let's hit the Twitter machine here real quick. This coming from Jeff. He says, hey, Adam and Coach Halton, what moves, if any, really make sense to you for Mr. Olshay to consider at the trade deadline? Do the Trailblazers need to make a play, I think is what he's getting at, make a play on J.J. Hickson? Is that something that they've got to do, or they can hold on?
Well, it's probably something that's on the top of everybody's minds because he's on a one-year deal.
Right.
And he's playing great.
Right.
I mean, so his value is probably as high as it could be. Now, whether that means you move him, you do something, it certainly probably makes the phone ring. I'm sure somebody somewhere is having that conversation.
Have this coming from Angie. She says, have you guys adjusted your prediction on how many games the Blazers will win since they have done so well so far? How many did you pick?
I think I was in the 36 to 40 range.
We're getting close.
But now I need to bump that up. Now I'm in the 40 to 45 range.
I thought that the Trailblazers were playing, and I promise you, you can ask our senior vice president of broadcasting, Dick Verdonigo, about this, because I told him, I remember the day.
I'm going to ask him, too. What did you say?
I sent him an email and talked about it the other day. I said, look, I always thought that during that prediction show, none of the mics, wheels, or tone said that the Blazers were a playoff team. And I just had this gut feeling, and maybe it's the fan of the team in me coming out. But I said I thought that the Trailblazers could sneak in as the 7 or 8 seed. And right now, it's looking pretty good.
I believe that.
Okay.
Where was I when that show happened?
Yeah, you weren't around.
Okay.
First thing Dick said, too, is there video proof of that? I don't remember this conversation.
Yeah. I don't know.
Could have been just a dream. No, I really did think that. How about this? Regarding the playoff picture, when is it not too early to start scoreboard watching? That coming from Cassandra.
Now. I mean, you could always watch the scoreboard and see where your team stands. That's okay. But until you get inside of 30 games, closer to 25, it's not real meaningful.
There's not – yeah. You know, we're almost at the halfway point of the season. Did you realize this?
I did not.
Yeah, it's game 37? 41 is the midway point. Trailblazers crew list tonight. TV producer Adam Willis, director Phil Beard, video Greg St. Martin, graphics producer Kim Anderson, graphics coordinator Nick Elliott. On audio, it is the incomparable Corey Griffin. On cameras, Buck Curry, engineer Bruce Williams, online coordinator Justin Knuckles, Boom, Walter, and radio producer, of course, the one and only Rich Patterson,
Cap.
The Cap.
And he's Sammy.
He's got Sammy. Sammy, what's up, Sammy? Buddy?
Say something, Sammy.
Yeah, we got it. There you go. Okay, Sammy, what's
Hi.
Up?
Hi.
Hey, Sammy.
What's up?
How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, Sammy.
Good stuff, Sammy. You're an all-star. Thumbs up, baby. Thumbs up. Good stuff.
That's the best right there.
The captain's cam always in full effect. One time, about a month ago, I was sitting in the captain's chair while courtside was on. Captain
really?
Came up, tapped me on the shoulder, and said, get out of my seat. And okay. They captured it live.
Really?
Yeah. Barrett was like, let's go to the captain's cam. And there I was sitting there. All right. That's going to do it for us. Special thanks to everyone once again and our great guests tonight. Blazers president Chris McGowan, and of course Bob Condotta from the Seattle Times. For Michael Holton, I'm Adam Bjarnson. We'll see you Tuesday when the Blazers visit Denver to face the Nuggets. That's tomorrow, by the way. Pre-game at 5:30 right here on Comcast SportsNet. Good night, everyone.